season.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come into them.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, this is Father Tom, and today we continue to speak about the cross. As I've often said, you cannot out-preach the cross, you cannot out-sing the cross, you cannot out-proclaim the cross. The cross is our salvation, the cross, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, St. Paul so identifies with the crucified Jesus that in Galatians, he tells us, the second chapter, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, you hear the apostle? He so identifies with the crucified Messiah that he is crucified. His flesh is crucified with Christ. He no longer lives. He is so filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can always tell he's filled with the Holy Spirit because he proclaims to the Corinthian community, to the Galatian community, to the Colossian community, especially now to the Corinthian community, when I came among you, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh yes, nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because when he went to Athens just before, the people in Athens were not converted to the degree that they should have been converted because Paul did not present the cross. He only presented the resurrection. So when he goes to Corinth, what does he say? When I came among you, I decided it was deliberate to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We must also remember that these Corinthians were also very, at least they thought they were avant-garde. They thought they were the cat's meow. They thought they were quite something. They were always looking for new things. And yet Paul said, I have nothing new. I have nothing new to tell you. But the newness of the cross, the newness of the crucified, the newness of the redemption, the newness of our justification. Oh, hallelujah! The newness of our sanctification and everything is in the cross, the crucified Jesus. And so you can see why Paul, he was so vehemently opposed to the proclamation of the law, or vehemently opposed to the proclamation of anything, even him. You know, some say I'm for Peter, and some say I'm for Paul, and some say I'm for this and I'm for that. No. Who died for you? Did Peter die for you? Did Paul die for you? Who died for you? Jesus died for you. Do you see what I'm saying? Paul was so in love with Jesus Christ and the crucified Lord that is what his heart sang out was the message of the love of God poured out upon the cross. And then he speaks to the Galatians. And in the Galatians, he says this in the third chapter. O foolish Galatians. He's very angry. O foolish Galatians. I love the next line. Who has bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you? Listen to what he says next. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul is saying that the Galatian community saw the crucified Jesus Christ. Now, how did they see him? That's the issue. O foolish Galatians, who has put a spell on you? Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Of course, by hearing with faith. How was Jesus Christ presented as crucified before their eyes? Through the proclamation of the gospel, through the proclamation of the cross, Jesus was presented as crucified before their eyes because faith cometh by hearing, and when Paul proclaimed the cross was made present. For my word, the scripture says, does not return void, but it will do everything that I call it to do. That's when Jesus says, this is my body. My word does not return void. It shall do everything that I call it to do. This is my body. This is my blood. My word does not return void. So when Paul proclaimed the crucified Jesus, he says this. Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified before your eyes. That's it. They never saw what happened on Good Friday. They were not there. These are the Gentiles, and these are in the region of Galatia. They had no idea the day Jesus died. But when Paul proclaimed the crucified Jesus, he was portrayed before their eyes as the crucified Lord. Oh, the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. That's why the Word of God must be proclaimed. That's why it must be proclaimed in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. That's why the cross must be proclaimed. The cross must be proclaimed because Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead is our salvation. Now, my question is, how many people that are preachers proclaim the cross? How many people that are preachers really proclaim the cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the redemption of Jesus, the redemptive power of Jesus? How many do that? I don't think very many. You know, we're always looking for something new, just like the Corinthian community. I've got to give the people something new. No. I have nothing new to give them. Maybe a new slant, what the cross means. Oh, yes, that in the cross is our reconciliation, that through the blood of Jesus we have been reconciled to the Father as we repent. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That through the cross is our sanctification. Oh, yes, for the crucified sanctifies those who come to him in faith, who go to him in faith. Come to me, he says, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will refresh you. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Remember, we were not bought with the diminishable price of silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And if we were bought, that means we are the property of the one who bought us. Hallelujah. I belong to him. That's why Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live no longer I, but Christ lives within me. I am owned by Christ crucified. I belong to him. I'm his property. I'm his property. Whose property are you? Whose property are you? Very good question. Whose property are you? I've been bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. What about you? You can be his property too. Yes. How? Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? By believing in Jesus, by surrendering our life to the crucified, risen Savior. Oh, yes, then we become his property. This happens in baptism and through faith, but we must continue to live it out. To live it out. Oh, Paul said, you know why he called these Galatians foolish, and who has bewitched you? Because people were coming in proclaiming another gospel. They were proclaiming that in order to be and belong to Christ, in order to be a Christian, you had to be circumcised. And unless you were circumcised, you were not part of the body of Christ. And Paul said, if the law was enough, then Christ died in vain. The law was not enough. Oh, the law and the prophets, they speak of Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of the prophets. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. I take you to Matthew 17, where we see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. I take you to Luke's gospel, and what were they talking about? They were talking about his departure, that he had to go to Jerusalem and die. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the glory of God surrounds Jesus, fills Jesus, that he's brighter than any sun, his clothes brighter than any bleacher can make them. What is the discussion of Moses and Elijah? They were talking about his departure into Jerusalem. Oh, the cross is central. The cross is central. The cross is central. And the law can be summed up in Christ. The prophets can be summed up in Christ. And Paul would say, if salvation comes through the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Jesus died for sinners. And Paul said that he was the first of sinners. Why? Because he persecuted the church of Christ. But here in the crucified Jesus is the mercy of God poured out, even to a sinner that kills Christians. That's real. That's real. That's why Paul could preach the cross, because from the crucified Savior, he received the mercy of God, the mercy of God. He put his thumbs down when Stephen the deacon was being killed. But Paul knows the mercy. Paul knows the mercy. On the road to Damascus, he was surrounded by the light of Christ. He was surrounded by the Shekinah glory. He was surrounded by the Kabod Yahweh, the heavy glory of the presence of God. He met the risen Lord, but the risen Lord still had the marks of crucifixion. Oh, he met the risen Lord, the crucified risen Lord. Hallelujah. Changed his life, changed his direction, got a change of heart. He who was the doctor of the law now becomes the doctor of the cross. Edith Stein writes The Science of the Cross. Well, I think Paul wrote that book a long time before Edith. God bless St. Edith Stein. Pray for me. The cross of Jesus Christ. Behold, behold, the wood of the cross, on which has hung our salvation. O come, let us adore him. We cannot outpreach the cross. We cannot outsing the cross. But you know, even Paul from jail, when he was in jail in Rome, began to sing about the cross. Oh yes, he began to sing about the cross. He began to sing about the crucified. Oh yes, it was a hymn. It was a hymn to the crucified risen Savior in Philippians 2. It was a hymn. Exegetes tell us that this is a hymn. So when Paul was in jail, he began to sing. I do not know the tune. I do not know the tune, but I do know he began to sing. Have this mind among you, which you have in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human estate, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death, even death upon a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on Jesus the name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth, every tongue, shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue, shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue, every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory, to the glory of the Lord. You see, he presents in song. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. Jesus did not clench his fists. There was no grasping of the glory, even though he had the glory from the beginning of time and before the beginning of time, from all eternity. He emptied himself of the glory. Taking the form of a slave and becoming humbler still, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Hallelujah! Our salvation, our reconciliation. Yes, not your condemnation, your salvation, your reconciliation, That means any sin you committed, forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Go to confession. Repent. Why? Because he forgave us. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And still we do not know what we are doing. We preach everything but the cross. We preach, fluff and not stuff. You know, fluff. I had someone in the office yesterday say, I am so tired of going to church and hearing fluff. Fluff. You know what fluff does? When the wind blows, it just blows with it. The substance is the crucified, risen Savior. He is the substance. In Greek, he is the ousia. He is one ousia with the Father. That's right. One substance with the Father. Where would we be without the crucified? Where would I be without the crucified? What would I say to you today without the crucified? How could I preach today if I did not have a message portraying Jesus crucified to you, the love of God poured out for you, Because you know what, my friends? It is not that you have first loved God. It is that he has first loved you and sent his Son as a sacrifice for your sins on the cross. If you say, I don't know God loves me, then I think you better spit at the crucifix. Because that's what we do when we say, I don't know if God loves me. We spit at the crucifix. What more love could he show us than dying for us? What more love could he show us than hanging on a tree, becoming a curse? For the scripture says, cursed is the man that dies upon a cross. What more love could he show us? What more love? Pouring out the last drop of his blood for you, for me, for us, so that we become new creations. What more love could he show us? He gave everything. Everything. Naked upon the cross. Naked upon the cross. Naked upon the cross. Naked upon the cross. One night as I was praying, the Lord showed me a picture. I could never, ever, ever think this up on my own. I was brought to Calvary, and I could see Jesus. I couldn't see his face, I could see his body. And his body was covered with flies. I would never think about that. I've never seen a picture like that. But you know what? He's outside the wall. Some people say Calvary was a place where they dumped stuff. That's what some people say. But even if they didn't dump stuff there, blood is oozing from him. And the flies would all be around him. I can't even imagine. When I saw that for a second, I turned my face. I didn't want to look at it anymore. It was so appalling that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal Father, did that for me. Thank you, Lord. It was so appalling. I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. That's what St. Paul said. St. Paul was a dead man. You know what a dead man is? I'll give you two things a dead man is, or does. A dead man faces one direction, and he has no plans of his own. St. Paul was a dead man. Facing in one direction toward the crucified risen Lord, with no plans of his own, just wanting to do what Jesus called him to do. I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. St. Paul was a dead man. Are you? Am I? No plans of our own, only the plans that he brings into our life. Are we facing in one direction, or do we have a divided heart that's divided in 47 different ways? You see, everyone has a heart condition. It's called sin. And Christ died for sinners. The righteous for the unrighteous. The holy for the unholy. Christ died for sinners. And the only thing you need to do is to repent of your sin. What does that mean? That means you turn your back on it and walk the other way. But you need grace to do that, my friend. You cannot turn away from your sin without grace. I had a woman that called me the other night. She was desperate. She was desperate. She's crying, I'm going to die, because I'm drinking, I'm killing myself. I began to pray with her. I broke the power of the curse of alcoholism in the name of Jesus. I prayed with her, and then I said, you go to meeting starting tomorrow. You understand me? And she did. Then she called me 2 days later. She said she slipped, but she had 2 good days. I said, you did a good job. So again today. You go to meetings. You do not do anything but go to meetings right now. You need to go to meetings. It's one day at a time. Because of the cross, Jesus has broken the curse. And one day at a time, he'll give you the victory. One day at a time, he'll give you the victory. One day at a time, he'll give you the victory. I called her early this morning to see how she was doing. And she called back. I left a prayer on her machine, and she was so grateful. Still going to meetings. She said, I want to see you sometime, Father Tom. I said, fine. But you've got to continue going to meetings, because you know what? God has a plan for you. Because he chooses the weak and makes them strong. He chooses the broken so that we who are broken can heal those who are also broken. All through the cross. All through the cross. All through the cross. I thank you for Jesus crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. I pray we would know the power of his death and resurrection in our lives, not when we die, but now. I pray, God, that you would manifest your glory through his death and resurrection in our lives, that you'd heal the sick as you have in the past, that you fill us with your presence, that you let us know that we are loved with an everlasting love. And if we don't believe that, we look at the crucifix. What wondrous love is this? That God's only Son gave his life for you and me. Jesus today has been portrayed as crucified. Surrender to him. Now. I surrender, Jesus. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and we will be at the Espousal Retreat House on Wednesday at 7:30, and you are welcome to come. We haven't been there in 2 weeks. We will be at the Espousal Retreat House tomorrow, Wednesday, and you are welcome to come. We haven't been there in 2 weeks. So that's wonderful. I also need to hear from people. These broadcasts are supplied by Jesus Christ as he works through his people. You set your gifts, if you are blessed, only if you are blessed by these broadcasts, to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I want you to read Philippians 2 today. Sing it. Sing it. Sing it loud. Sing it soft. But sing it. And sing it again, because he is the crucified, risen Savior, and he is Lord of heaven and earth. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.
The Spirit of Boston. AM 950 WROL.